Open your Bible, please, Revelation chapter number 4. Revelation chapter number 4, we begin our thoughts this morning. This will be the 14th message in our study of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter number 4, and the Lord willing, I'd like to deal with the first three verses of Revelation chapter 4 this morning. Before we read the scripture and begin our thoughts, let me say this. The events will be like a whirlwind beginning now. The rapture is going to take place in Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1, and events will be transpiring all over earth during this 7-year period that's known as the tribulation period. And so we'll begin that time, and the study of that time is given in the Word of God this morning. Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald." Folks, chapter 4 and verse number 1 begins the third and final section of the divinely inspired outline of Revelation chapter 1 and verse 19. According to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 19, John was to write some things. He was to write the things which thou hast seen. That's the vision of the risen Christ in chapter 1. He was to write the things which are. That's the message to the seven churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. And he was to write the things which shall be hereafter. And that is all the events recorded in the book of Revelation, starting with chapter 4 and verse 1 and going throughout the balance of this wonderful portion of Scripture. Chapters 4 and 5, this is in your notes on page 44 of your notes, your outline of the book of Revelation. A lot of the things I'll be saying for the next few minutes are written down for you there. Chapters 4 and 5, taken together, form a prologue of the entire last section of the book of Revelation. In these chapters, John is given a heavenly perspective of all the events that are going to transpire upon the earth. And folks, that's going to be necessary. John is going to see some horrible, horrible things. Judgments are going to take place upon the earth that defy human description. John is going to be an eyewitness to all of those things. And before God reveals them to him, he's trying to give John the proper perspective. He's seeing the glories of heaven, the glory of the Father, and the great throne room scene here in chapters 4 and 5. And the Father, God the Father, is preparing the heart and mind of his servant John to be able to properly view all the things that he's going to be shown in these chapters. Dr. Henry Morris said this. He said the grandeur, talking about chapters 4 and 5, he said the grandeur of the setting is incomparable, and the theme is nothing less than the very destiny of the world. I can only say that I agree with that. And I would ask that each one of us would allow the Spirit of God to control our hearts and minds. Folks, I would like for us to be able to see in our hearts and minds the things that John is going to see and that he reveals to us in these portions of the Word of God. And we need the Spirit of God to control us and lead us so that we can do that. Now, chapter 4 and verse number 1. There's a door that was opened in heaven. Verse 1 of chapter 4 is, I believe, the rapture of the church. Now, it's an interesting thing, folks. Neither here nor any other place in the book of Revelation does the Spirit of God reveal much to us in the way of details concerning this event we call the rapture of the church. Well, God is dealing with other events in the book of Revelation. Primarily, that rapture's got to take place. But He's dealt with that in detail in other places. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15, and many other portions of the Word of God. God deals in detail, gives us details about the rapture of the church. But I believe that chapter 4 and verse number 1, this open door in heaven, is the rapture of the church. Now, I've given you five reasons in your notes why I believe that the rapture of the church takes place in Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 1. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. I'm going to run through them, and you've got these things written in your notes. Number 1, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 22 is the last mention of the church until after the tribulation period. Now, folks, we believe, and there's going to be a lot said about this as we go through the study, we believe in the premillennial and pre-tribulational rapture of the church. That is, the church is going to be taken out, be caught up to be with the Lord before the tribulation begins, and obviously before the setting up of the millennial kingdom. With that in mind, after we see the church in chapter 3 and verse 22, we're not going to see the church in view again at all until after chapter 19, when the tribulation has been completed, and only then will the Lord bring back the church into view. That's one of the reasons that I believe the rapture takes place right here, is that there's no more mention of it throughout the balance of this section of the Word of God. Secondly, the outline, the inspired outline of chapter 1 and verse 19 places this section in the third section of the book. Remember, the things which shall be hereafter. He said, I want you to write the things that you've seen, chapter 1. I want you to write the things that are. That's the seven churches that were in existence that day. And I want you to write the things which shall be hereafter. So that divinely inspired outline puts this section in this third section, and of course would take place after the rapture of the church. Number 3, chapter 4 begins with the words meta tauta, which have chronological significance. The phrase, after this, those are words that have a time significance. In other words, those words mean simply, after these things are done, or after these things have been completed, then something else takes place. The chronological significance of the words that this verse start out with bring before us the rapture of the church that takes place at this point in time. Number 4, Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 through 14. I will not turn there right now because of time. Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 through 14 associates this same scene that we're going to see in chapter 4 and 5. Daniel 7, 9 through 14 associates this scene with the nation of Israel and not with the New Testament church. Number 5, God is seen on a throne of judgment in this portion of Scripture and not on a throne of grace. Folks, the Heavenly Father sits on a throne of grace and He operates under grace during this church age. After the rapture of the church takes place, God will no longer operate under this matter, this dispensation of grace. He will operate under the attitude of judgment, and that's seen in chapters 4 and 5 of this portion of Scripture. If you put all these five things together, that gives you the basis for our saying that the rapture takes place in chapter 4 and verse 1. A door is opened in heaven. Now, the Bible says a door was opened in heaven. And John says the first verse that he heard was as the voice of a trumpet. Now, does that bring something to your mind, this thought of a trumpet? Remember chapter 1? He heard a voice that was like a trumpet. He also heard a voice, the same voice, was as the sound of many waters. It's the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ that he hears. The door is open. A door is something through which an entrance is made. A door is opened into heaven, and John is going to go through that door. Now, folks, only the Lord Jesus Christ is the door. The Bible says, and we can spend a lot of time on this, I can't do that right now. John chapter 10 and verse 9, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm the door. Only the Lord Jesus Christ is the door that leads into heaven. Here a door is opened into heaven. And John, when he sees that open door, he hears a sound, a voice as a trumpet. It's the sound of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's clear and crisp and concise. It's powerful. He hears that voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 2. And immediately, now watch it. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. The Bible says, the door was open. John heard the voice as of a trumpet, the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And immediately, I was in the Spirit. His translation from the translation of John from earth to heaven was immediate. Even so will the rapture of the church take place in just a moment. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15:52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now folks, a door's open, a voice is heard, and immediately John goes through that door to view the glories of heaven that we're going to see in chapters 4 and 5. Now, I believe, and you folks can study this out and you'll take whatever position that you feel led of the Spirit to take. I believe that at least his spirit, John's spirit, was projected from his body in a mysterious and a miraculous way. He could have even been bodily caught up to be in heaven. You see, I believe that when John was in the Spirit in the Lord's day, I personally hold the position that there's a lot more involved than just being in a state of a trance or a state of a dream. I know many teach that, and that's fine. I'm not going to fight with you or argue with you about that. I believe there's more to it than that. As we go through the book of Revelation, we're going to find out that at one point in time, John is taken up on a high mountain. And he's taken other places. I believe it's more than just in his mind. He was taken in the Spirit. John, if you will, if I could put it this way, John is experiencing what will happen to us at the rapture of the church. He was caught up immediately, the Bible says, a door is opened into heaven, and immediately, John's raptured, folks. He's caught up into heaven to view all the glories that take place there. Now, Paul had a similar experience. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse 3. Paul had a similar experience. You know what the big difference was? Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, and I'm going to paraphrase for you, Paul said, I don't know for sure whether I was in the body or out of the body. I don't know if it was just in the Spirit that I was caught up into the third heaven or if I was actually there in my body. He said, I really can't tell. He said, all I know is that I was there. But you remember what Paul said? Paul said when he got back, he said, I saw some things while I was there. I don't know if I was in my body or just my spirit was there. I'm not sure. But while I was there, I saw some things that are not legal for a man to utter. You know what the big difference between John and Paul is? John got to tell it all, folks. John's going to tell us everything that he sees while he's there. Paul saw a lot of things while he was there. He saw the glories of heaven, I'm sure. We don't know for sure because God wouldn't let him tell. John's going to tell us everything that he sees. God's writing it down for us. He's giving it to us in the Word of God. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Verse number 3. Now this throne in verse number 2. This throne was set in heaven. It's a throne that is set for judgment. Now, look at verse number 3. We're going to try to tie this together. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Now, in the book of Revelation, the Father is described by precious stones. Right here in this portion, he's described by the jasper and the sardine. In Daniel 7, he's described by some other things. Now, you need to make a correction in your notes here. It says here he is described by fire. It says pure world. World is not the word that's supposed to be there. That's supposed to be the word wool. Pure wool. Would you mark that out? Mark the word world out and maybe right above it, write the word wool. That is a mess up there. He's just, in Daniel 7, the Father is described by fire and pure wool and holiness and judgment. Now, the jasper stone is clear as a crystal, according to Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 11. Most people would tell us that that jasper is what you and I would call a diamond. Is that right? I'm not sure. But whatever it is, whatever stone it is, it's called a jasper here. It's as clear as a crystal, the Bible says. The sardine stone is blood red. It's blood red. That speaks to us of judgment. Now, the jasper is clear as crystal, the color of light. Speaks to us of the holiness of God. And the sardine stone is blood red and speaks of the judgment of God. And the jasper and the sardine together speak of God's judgment based on His holiness. Folks, God's going to judge this world one day. And that judgment is going to be based on the complete and absolute holiness of Almighty God. John is caught up into heaven. He looks and he sees a throne that's set for judgment. And on that throne, he sees one sitting. He sees one sitting on that throne. And to look upon him was like looking at a jasper and like looking at a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow, the Bible says, round about the throne in sight, likened to an emerald. Emerald is a green color. Now, when you and I view the rainbow, we see an arc. We see an arc. The rainbow that's described in the Word of God around the throne of Almighty God is a circle. It's a circle. It goes all the way around the throne of God. Now, can I throw out a thought here? Folks, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if there's a rainbow in color likened to an emerald that's around the throne of God continuously all the time, or if the rainbow is only seen around the throne of God when judgment processes are taking place on the earth. But I do know this. I do know if you went back in your Bible, and I'll not turn there now, but you can write these down. I do know that when judgment was taking place in Ezekiel's day, in Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 28, there was a rainbow seen round about the throne of God. I do know that in Genesis chapter number 9, when the judgment of God was taking place upon the earth, there was a rainbow that was seen that was involved with that judgment of God that was taking place. And folks, I do know that in John's day, when the greatest judgment that's ever came upon the world has taken place or is about to take place, I do know that in this vision, once again, God reveals through the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, God reveals that there's a rainbow that is completely around the throne of God. Now folks, what does that speak to us of? Now remember, the rainbow was a sign. The rainbow was a sign after the flood that God would not destroy the earth by water anymore. Now, folks, what that speaks to us of is God's mercy in light of and in the midst of God's judgment. Here, that's what we're seeing. Judgment is about to take place. A great scene is being seen in heaven. John is there and he's viewing it. Is he in a trance? Is he there just in his soul and spirit? Is he there bodily? I don't know for sure. All I do know is he's seeing it. And he's writing it down. The Spirit of God is moving on him. He's writing it down for us. And he sees God on the throne. He looks like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there's a rainbow like an emerald round about the throne. And God is showing us in the midst of all the judgment that's going to take place, God's mercy will still be in view, even in the midst of that judgment. Now, I want to stop there. I want to go back to verse number 1. And we're going to bring in something else. I want to ask you to turn, if you would. I'd like to ask you to turn in your notes to page 165 of your outline. Page 165 of your outline. Now, folks, it's my position that we've presented to you this morning that the rapture of the church takes place in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. But it's unmistakable also to realize this. If indeed the rapture takes place in chapter 4 and verse number 1, the judgments in the tribulation period don't start until Revelation chapter 6 and verse 1. God's going to give us two chapters full of magnificent details about a scene in heaven and things that are going to go on. The rapture has taken place. The church has been called up, caught out of the world, out off the earth, to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is going to go through two things after the rapture takes place. Those of us that are saved, if the Lord Jesus Christ were to come back right now, and He could. Those of us that are saved are going to be changed and called up to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in there. Those of us that are saved of this church age and make up the church of this age, we're going to experience two events in heaven. First event that we're going to experience is the judgment seat of Christ. And the second event is going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, while those two things are going on in heaven, those of us that make up the church age, while we are going through going to the judgment seat of Christ and to the marriage supper of the Lamb, the tribulation period is going on the earth. It's interesting, though. The rapture takes place in chapter 4 and verse 1. But the judgments of the tribulation don't start until chapter 6 and verse number 1. And folks, I believe that the reason it's like that, God is telling us something by the way He's presented the Word of God. And here's what He's telling us. And this is going to, I'm glad you're all sitting down, so because some of you would fall over when I say this and all, and it's already in the notes and you've already read it. But you see, the tribulation doesn't start immediately upon the rapture of the church. Wow, that'll get me in trouble saying stuff like that. The tribulation doesn't start immediately upon the rapture of the church. Now, I've put it in your notes. If you're looking at your notes on page 165, there's a period of time between the rapture of the church and the beginning of the tribulation period. Now, many object immediately to this statement because you've always heard that the rapture is going to take place and then the tribulation is going to start. Folks, I've said that 100 times. I've probably said that thousands of times when I've been preaching and teaching the Word of God over the years. I don't think that there's anything wrong with that because we make a lot of generalizations in teaching and preaching when we're just mentioning a subject, but we're not dealing in detail with it. We're dealing in detail with it this morning, though. And folks, it's not the rapture of the church that marks the beginning of the tribulation period, but rather, it's the signing of the covenant that the Antichrist will make with the nation of Israel that marks the beginning of the tribulation period. So, what am I saying? I'm saying there's a period of time between when the rapture of the church takes place and the beginning of the judgments of the tribulation period. And folks, I believe God is showing us that in these two chapters. The rapture takes place in chapters 4 and verse 1. Some events are going to take place in chapters 4 and 5 before the judgments begin in chapter 6 and verse 1. I believe that's exactly what God is showing us, that some events are going to take place after the rapture and before the judgments of the tribulation take place. In your notes, if you'll look at this, I know it's written down for you and all, but I want to make sure we have it in our mind. The Bible teaches that the Antichrist comes on the scene as a man of peace. That is unmistakable. According to Daniel chapter 8 and verse 25 and many other portions of Scripture, the Bible makes mention of the fact that the Antichrist deceives the world by making them believe that he's a man of peace. The Bible also teaches in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that the Antichrist is not going to be revealed to the world until after the rapture of the church takes place. Now, I want you to stay with me now. We've got two things. Number one, the Antichrist is going to be known, at least for some period of time, as a man of peace. Number two, the Antichrist is not going to be made known to the world until after the rapture of the church takes place. Now, folks, we can speculate on who the Antichrist is all we want to. Over the years, people have always done, no matter what pope happens to be in power in the Roman Catholic Church, there's always somebody who's going to say that that pope is the Antichrist. It's been everywhere from, I've heard everything from Ronald Reagan to everything else you can name of who's the Antichrist. Now, you can listen to all, you can do all the speculating you want, but the fact of the matter is, the Antichrist is not going to be revealed to the world until after the rapture of the church. He's going to be known as a man of peace, but he's not going to be revealed to after the rapture of the church. Now, a third thought. I'm going to skip over some things here. The start of the tribulation period is marked. The start of the tribulation period is marked by the signing of the covenant that the Antichrist makes with the nation of Israel, according to Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27. And it's not the rapture of the church that marks the beginning of the tribulation period proper. The 70th week of Daniel, let me see if I can put it this way. The rapture of the church is an event. The rapture of the church is an event that obviously is associated with the church and the church age. It's the church that's going to be raptured, those that make up the church, the New Testament church. The tribulation period, folks, is an event that is primarily associated with the nation of Israel, and not with the church. The church is not going to be here during the tribulation period. The tribulation period is the 70th week of Daniel. And folks, basically everything about that 70th week is tied up with the nation of Israel and not with the New Testament church. The Antichrist is going to be a man of peace. The Antichrist is not going to be revealed until after the rapture. The Antichrist signs a covenant with the nation of Israel that marks the beginning of the tribulation period. Now here I'm going to tie it all together. If the Antichrist is going to be known as a man of peace, and if there's not going to be any peace during the tribulation period itself, and there's not. Now, folks, when we get to Revelation chapter 6 and verse 1, the beginning of the tribulation period, as soon as it starts, chaos is going to take place on the earth. There's not going to be any peace during the tribulation period. It is an error that some people have in their mind when we separate the two parts of the tribulation, and there are, I believe, according to the book of Matthew, the Lord Jesus Christ uses some terms. The Lord Jesus Christ refers to the first 3.5 years of the tribulation as the beginning of sorrows and the last 3.5 years of the tribulation as great tribulation. Our error is this. We assume that the first 3.5 years, the beginning of sorrows, we assume many times that it's not going to be all that bad. Folks, that's just plain not true. The first 3.5 years is going to be far worse than any time that the world has ever known. It's just that the last 3.5 years is going to be even worse than that. Now, if the Antichrist is going to deceive the world as a man of peace, and he's not going to be revealed until after the rapture, And if there's not going to be any peace in the tribulation period proper, then there's got to be a period of time after the rapture and before the tribulation that He can deceive the world and make them believe that He's a man of peace. Folks, I believe it's really ironic. From the time the peace covenant is signed, there's never any peace on the earth. Now, folks, that's the way Satan works. Satan is a liar and a deceiver. The Antichrist, who is energized by Satan, he comes on the scene and he makes the world believe that he can give them lasting peace, and he signs a peace covenant with the nation of Israel. There's a period of time after the rapture. How long is it? I don't know how long it is. I put in your notes. I put, well, maybe it's 1 year or 2 years. Folks, I don't know how long it is. That is purely an arbitrary thing on my point to put anything there at all. I did determine, though, in this study, that I wasn't going to just skip over anything, that we were going to deal with everything, even those things that are considered controversial. There's a period of time. The rapture is going to take place and the Antichrist is going to come on the scene. He may have already been on the scene in some way, but he wasn't known as a world figure until after the rapture. He's going to come on the scene and he's going to make the world believe that he can give them lasting peace. He's going to lead in a peace effort with the nation of Israel. And he's going to sign a covenant with Israel. He's going to say, now remember, he's going to rise to power as the head of a conglomeration of nations that make up a revived Roman Empire. Now, sometimes we call that the United States of Europe. If you read many commentaries, they'll say, well, it's going to be like a United States of Europe. But now, the problem that I have with that is simply this. If you go back and study the boundaries of the ancient Roman Empire when it was at its peak, you'll find out that the Roman Empire, the ancient Roman Empire, included more than just European nations. It included some of the African nations, especially North Africa. So I don't know that it's exactly right to say that he rises to power as the head of a United States of Europe. I believe there may well be other nations involved other than just what we know of as European nations. He's going to come on the scene. He's going to sign a covenant with Israel, guaranteeing their safety, allowing them to worship in the temple. And as soon as he signs the covenant of peace, there's never going to be any peace anymore on the earth. Now, folks, that's how Satan works. Satan is a liar and a deceiver. And nothing is ever like he said. Satan will come to us and he'll say, well, you know, you can enjoy this kind of thing. It's against the Word of God, but you can enjoy this. Go ahead and involve. Everybody's doing it anyway. I know you folks are mature Christians in here, but that's how he works. He always lies. All through the tribulation period, Satan is moving and working. He goes to this king and he says, listen, you need to do so and so. And he goes to another king and he says, listen, you need to do so and so. And all through the tribulation, you've got nation fighting against nation. There's going to be all kind of race wars and military battles and conflicts. From the time the peace covenant is signed, there's never any peace. The rapture will take place. The Antichrist will be revealed. Some period of time will go by. I do not know how long it is. I would assume it would have to be a matter of at least a year or two for the things to transpire. The covenant will be signed with Israel, and the signing of that covenant will mark the beginning of the 7-year tribulation period, which starts in Revelation chapter 6 and verse number 1. I'm going to stop right there this morning. Do we have any questions or any comments? Any questions or any comments this morning?
That's a good point on the time frame for Israel having peace to go into the temple.
Folks, a lot of things are going to take place. Remember, Israel is going to be seen worshiping in the temple in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. When are they going to build that temple? Well, they're going to start building that temple during that period of time, between the rapture and the signing of the covenant. There's a lot of other things that are going to take place, and we'll bring those in. There's going to be a great battle that's going to take place. God's going to do some supernatural things. The battle of Gog and Magog is going to take place. Russia and her allies are going to march against the nation of Israel. They're going to gather around the nation, and just before their attack on Israel, God is going to destroy Russia on the mountains of Israel, the Bible says. The Antichrist, who has came on the scene because he signed the covenant, the Antichrist is going to come on the scene with his army. When Russia is defeated on the mountains of Israel, the Antichrist with his army is going to turn against the king of the south, who is Egypt and her allies. And the armies of the Antichrist will defeat Egypt and the armies that are with that have allied themselves with Egypt. Oh boy, a lot of things going on. We'll look at all those things.